Hi. Sorry that my face is half dark. I could get up and move the lamp, but I don't feel like it. Can you guys deal with it? Yeah, I'm pretty relaxed. I, you know, don't feel like moving furniture. So we are here for Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, and I'm going to go ahead and continue with consciousness and the absolute tonight. Last week, Ron covered for me, and he shared the message from November 9th. So I am going to share the message from November 12th. Let me have a drink. So Nisargadatta speaks first. The I amness, the manifest Brahman and Isvara are all only one. Ponder over this and realize it. This is a rare opportunity, one where all has been explained in great detail. So take full advantage of it. And I want to look up Isvara. I know we've done that before, but sometimes until I look these things up several times, I have trouble holding on to them. It's God. So the I amness, the manifest Brahman, and God are all only one. And Brahman, I believe, is the creator, right? So the creator and the God are all only one. Ponder over this and realize it. This is a rare opportunity, one where all has been explained in great detail. So take full advantage of it. Before I continue, I just want to say that I heard George one day while he was teaching, and he commented on, in Awakening Together, we have found the narrow path. And I agree with him completely. I think we have found the narrow path. And so when I read, this is a rare opportunity. One where all has been explained in great detail. So take full advantage of it. I mean, that really feels like it's talking to us. You know, with the teachings that we've had here with A Course in Miracles, NTI, Inner Ramana, Nisargadatta, Ramana Maharshi, the Supreme Yoga, et cetera, Michael Langford, I mean, Ellie Ruzdar, you know, and all the others. I just feel like we have been given such magnificent information. And it's up to us to seize that, right? To seize that and practice. But I don't think, I mean, I know there are other spiritual groups too who have this same information. We're not the only one. But I would imagine that the groups that have this clear of information without any pollution are rare. I mean, I think there's a lot of spiritual groups out there that have a lot of new age stuff mixed in, have a lot of, you know, manifest what you want stuff mixed in. Right. And so even though the truth or the direct path may also be there, it's a little harder to recognize it because of all the other stuff that's kind of mixed in. And I think we're very, very lucky in Awakening Together that that we really have the clear stuff and we don't have the trash that's similar in sound but different. And one thing that's really amazing about that is we have so many people teaching here. You know, if you look on the schedule, you know, you would think that if you're in an organization that allows, you know, 30 some people to take a half an hour and teach, that you would get some junk. But we don't. You know, it's really amazing, don't you think? It's really a group of people who are very focused on the direct truth and are doing their best to walk that path. So that's what I'm reminded of when I read this sentence. This is a rare opportunity, right? We have a rare opportunity here. This is a rare opportunity, one where all has been explained in great detail. So take full advantage of it. Yeah, that's speaking right to us. He continues, you are the manifest Brahman. Or we could say, you are the manifest creator. I have told you many times what your true state is, but through force of habit, you again descend into body identification. A stage has now arrived at which you must give up this bodily identification. I think that feels like it's talking to us too, doesn't it? I mean, you know, this was November 12th, 1980, but I think he's talking to us today. A stage has now arrived at which you must give up this bodily identification. The bodily activities will continue until the body drops off, but you should not identify with them. So the questioner says, how are we to do this? And Nisargadatta says, you can watch the body, so you are not the body. You can watch the breath, so you are not the vital breath. In the same way, you are not the consciousness. But you have to become one with the consciousness. As you stabilize in the consciousness, this passion for the body and for the expressions through the body occurs spontaneously. It is a natural renunciation, not a deliberate one. So again, the instructions, I think, are very clear to us. They may not be to everyone, but because we've had everything explained in great detail, we understand what he's saying. He says, you are not the consciousness. In other words, you are not the second principle of God. You are the first principle of God. All right, so let's be clear on who you are. You are not the second principle of God. You are the first principle of God. However, because you think you're a body, you have to become one with the second principle of God first. You know, you kind of have to climb back up the ladder that you descended. So even though in reality you're not the consciousness, you're the absolute. And again, these are just words. Some people use the word consciousness to represent the absolute, which again is why I like the language of the principles of God. They're so clear, right? You're not the second principle of God. You're the first principle of God. But because you think you're a person, first you have to become one with the second principle of God. You know, you have to go back the way you came. In fact, I'm going to do a little pause here, because I think of this song all the time. I'm just going to play it. It's not exactly right, but it'll be somewhat right. So, oh yeah, you can't do anything. Wait, let me stop the share. When you share advanced and then you want to go somewhere, you can't. So let me get where I want to go, and then I'll share it with you. All right, now I'm all ready, so now I can share. All right, so before I share, let me just say what I said one more time to kind of set it up. So you're not the second principle of God. You're the first principle of God. But first, you have to become one with the second principle of God, because you have to go back the way you came, right? So the idea is you have to go back. You have to get back. All right, let's go ahead and just play this silly song that has nothing to do with this really directly, but I always think of it. It reminds me of going back the way I came.
Georgia was a man who thought he was a loner, but he knew it couldn't last. Georgia left his home in Tucson, Arizona, for some California grass. Get back, get back, get back.
I hear shoes and a low neck sweater. Get back to red hot.
From Daisy, Morris, and Tommy.
So even though that song isn't really about getting back to the absolute, it is kind of about going back, leaving your pretending and going back home, right? But I think of that song a lot. It's funny how often that song is with me. And I think the reason I think of that song a lot is because, you know, that's what we're doing. We're going to get back to where we once belonged. And what Nisargadatta is saying is that even though you're not the consciousness, you're the absolute, the path you took to get here from the absolute was you became consciousness, for lack of better words, and then from that, through the creative principle, you became a person, not really, but you think you have, and you have to go back the same way you came. So again, he says, you can watch the body so you are not the body. You can watch the breath so you are not the vital breath. In the same way, you are not the consciousness. But you have to become one with the consciousness. As you stabilize in the consciousness, dispassion for the body and for the expressions through the body occurs spontaneously. It is a natural renunciation, not a deliberate one. So what he's saying here is to try and renounce the body. That isn't really the path. You don't renounce the body directly. You shift your identification to consciousness. And as you shift your identification to consciousness, renunciation of the body naturally happens. Do you understand that? Which again is why we focus awareness, watching awareness. Right? We are, through that process, we are watching every day that I am the awareness that's aware of the body. I am the awareness that's aware of the thoughts. I am the awareness that's aware of the world. And as we continually focus on that, our identification is shifting, shifting, shifting to I am the awareness or I am the consciousness. And as it does that, we naturally release the identification with the body. And we become the watcher of the body rather than the identifier with the body, right? So that's his recommendation. You are not the consciousness, but you have to become one with the consciousness or identify with the consciousness. It's going to be a temporary identification because once you identify with the consciousness, then the bar gets raised, then you're going to begin to shift back from that. Remember, get back, right? You're going to shift back from that. But you have to go from body to consciousness and then from consciousness to absolute. That's the path. So you are not the consciousness, but you have to become one with the consciousness. As you stabilize in the consciousness, dispassion for the body and for the expressions through the body occurs spontaneously. It is a natural renunciation, not a deliberate one. It does not mean that you should neglect your worldly duties. Carry these out with full zest. Now that's interesting. it reminds me of the loving all method. You know, we took a lovely hike on Monday. I mean, really, it was an incredible hike on Monday. It was just gorgeous. And at some point in the hike, you know, I was really just loving it. And at some point in the hike, this thought kind of occurred that went something like this, you know, like, this world is not real. You're loving this hike too much. You're never going to let go of the world if you love all of this beauty too much. And then the next thought that came was, just love everything the same. Now, which one was the right mind and which one was the wrong mind? Yeah. You know, I have a problem if I love the hike and I hate, you know, the work that I do, the financial work or something like that. You know, I have a lot of financial tasks associated with president, minister. If I hate the work and I just can't wait for the weekend so I can go do the hike, that's when I have a problem. But if I love the hike and I love the work, if I love the mountain views and I love the grass, you know, I actually took a picture of an ant climbing up a tree. That's one of the photographs I took. Because I love the ant climbing up the tree just as much as I love that beautiful view that we came across, or that wonderful Dakota wall that we came across. You know, it does not mean that you should neglect your worldly duties. I'm just going to say it does not mean that you should neglect your worldly life, whatever is unfolding for you. Carry these out with full zest, the loving all method. It's not, the love is not the problem. It's the judgment. It's what we don't love. That's the problem. Right? And Dawn mentioned earlier that right now she's learning the loving all method. That's what we really want to do. We want to get to the point where we love everything. Everything is equal through our love for it. Now the questioner says, shouldn't we rediscover the freedom of the little baby from the body? Nisargadatta says, understand the source of child. The child is a product of the sperm of the father and the ovum of the mother. Consciousness is there in the child as it is in the parents. It is always the same consciousness, whether in the child or the adult. There is only one consciousness. You must become one with and stabilize in that consciousness. Then you transcend it. See, it's a temporary identification along the way. That consciousness is your only capital. Understand it. So again, you know, when the questioner is saying, shouldn't we rediscover the freedom of the little baby from the body? You know, what that reminded me of is when Jesus said, you must become like a child to inherit the kingdom of God. So I think it's a similar teaching, you know, probably in Hinduism that he's referring to. And what Nisargadatta is saying is actually the consciousness in the child is the same as the consciousness in the adult. You know, Nisargadatta is not one to say that you have to go through purification first. Nisargadatta basically says, start focusing on consciousness now. You don't have to let go of the I am bad thought first. And in fact, gentle healing has been set up the same way. In gentle healing year one, you are already beginning awareness, watching awareness. I do not have you go through this process of purification first, and you have to get completely rid of the I am bad thought. And then once you're purified and you're sattvic, now you can start awareness, watching awareness. We start awareness, watching awareness pretty quickly. Sure, we're doing purification side by side. That's the way gentle healing was set up. You're doing both simultaneously. But awareness, watching awareness is the primary part of that. Because if you begin to identify with consciousness, the rest of the purification will happen. because you no longer will be identified with the mind. Right? It doesn't matter whether the mind is pure or not if you're not identified with it, if you don't think that's who you are. So basically what Nisargadatta is saying here is you don't have to become like a little child, because your consciousness is the same as the child's. Just become one with the consciousness. Understand the source of child. The child is a product of the sperm of the father and the ovum of the mother. Consciousness is there in the child as it is in the parents. It is always the same consciousness, whether in the child or the adult. There is only one consciousness. You must become one with and stabilize in that consciousness. Then you transcend it. Again, he's being very clear that you're going to, pardon the word here, but I'm going to say achieve the second principle of God. And once you're stabilized in the second principle of God, then you will begin to focus on the next awakening and move towards the absolute. You must become one with and stabilize in that consciousness. Then you transcend it. That consciousness is your only capital. When he says capital here, I'm thinking of like, you know, money or investments, right? He's saying the consciousness is really the only investment that's worth anything. Invest everything in becoming one with consciousness. As long as you're identified with the body, invest everything in becoming one with consciousness. That's the only thing that has any real value. That consciousness is your only capital. Understand it. And then he says, to what extent do you know yourself? He's asking the questioner directly. The questioner says, I have held the feet of Satguru. Beyond that, I don't know anything. Nisargadatta says, you must do that, but you should understand the meaning of feet of Satguru. Understand that as movement begins with the feet, so movement begins from no knowingness to knowingness. When the knowingness occurs, that is Satguru movement. Go to the source for that movement, where the I am-ness begins. The effort of the one who has arrested that movement will not go to waste. Holding the feet of the Satguru is the borderline between knowingness and no knowingness. The Satguru would be the inner guru, the awakened one within. So when he says he's held the feet of the Satguru, I'm going to have to use my imagination here because I'm not Hindu, you know. I take that to mean that he does go into meditation and he abides, in whatever way he understands this, whether it's consciousness, whether it's abiding in the heart. He abides with what he perceives to be the Satguru within, and he holds the feet of the guru. In other words, he stays there. And Nisargadatta is basically saying, that's good, but you have to understand that just as movement begins with feet, so movement begins from no knowingness to knowingness. So when you go in and sit with the Satguru, you have to go in as the devotee who knows nothing. And you let any knowing come to you from the Satguru. You can't go within thinking you know what awareness is, what consciousness is, what anything is. You go in as the devotee. You abide in no knowingness. You hold on to the Satguru, whatever that means to you. And a movement will begin from within. And that movement will take you where you need to go and teach you what you need to know. Right? Holding the feet of the Satguru is the boarding line between knowingness and no knowingness. So just abide there and learn everything from within. And that's the end of that particular message. So The gist of this particular message is, again, he tells us that we have a rare opportunity now because we've really had all of the right teachings. And the stage that we are at is letting go of body identification. And the way we let go of body identification is abiding in awareness, watching awareness, meditation. Simple. In other words, George is right. You know, we have found the narrow path. And now we just have to walk it. So, let's see, I think it's my job to create the draft post, so I'll do that so that you'll have it when you're ready, Don. And thank you, everyone. Happy Wednesday evening. Enjoy the rest of your night. And I'll see you all when the sanctuary opens again on Sunday. Bye.